From team headquarters, this is the 49ers Studios Podcast.
All right, let's get into it. Another week, another 49ers Studios Podcast. I'm pumped about this week's guest. He's from Good Morning Football and Fox Sports. That's Mr. Peter Schrager. Schrags, appreciate your time, man.
I love coming on, man. Thanks for having me. I know we were trying to do this when I was in town week one, but this timing did not work. So, Joe, I appreciate you having me on now.
Yeah, it's always good to catch up. I love what you do. You guys, obviously, you're just finishing up with Good Morning Football. You guys do a fantastic job. I mean, just tell me about that show and kind of how it's evolved. I know you guys have really become one of the more prominent, if not the most prominent, morning sports show. How much fun do you have with that?
I appreciate it, man. It's cool. Yeah, we've got a great show. It's on NFL Network every day from 7 to 10, and then it replays again from 7 to 10 on Pacific. So we're on for 6 hours in the morning on NFL Network. If you're sick of the screaming and the yelling and everything else on sports television in the morning, we like to give another option. And we try to give love to all 32 teams. So as we're doing this podcast, the Niners are 0-3, but I will still come on and I will talk about Matt Breida, or I'll come on and I will give Pierre Garçon his love. Like, that is our goal. We don't want to just talk about the Cowboys and Patriots, and we do it in a fun way. And I got to tell you that we're just having such a good time and the season has started. We are the show that actually shows the highlights. We give love to the players that are on every team, not just three teams, and there really has not been one single fake argument on our show. So I appreciate you saying that, and I would hope all the listeners give us a shot. We're a big advocate for the 49ers and a lot of the other teams that maybe aren't being showcased a bunch around the league.
I know you guys have a pretty eclectic cast, and it really meshes together so well. You and Kay Adams, such rock stars. Kyle Brandt, I think one of the more genuinely funny people in sports TV. And then Nate Burleson, I just got mad respect for Nate Burleson simply because you go back to his playing days. I remember some nasty punt returns. I don't know if you've ever brought on the Nate Burleson highlight reel, but it was the punt return touchdowns followed by the epic touchdown dances. And so I've always got love for my guy, Nate Burleson. As a Seattle native, I mean, I grew up watching the Seahawks, and that guy made some plays.
How cool is that? And he got to raise the 12th man flag last year at a game, which was like he was blown away with the honor, which is really neat. He's from Seattle. Just like you, so it's cool for him to play his hometown. I just quickly on the cast, if you just watched the show last year and you're like, who the hell are these people? Nate was not a Hall of Fame player. Nate was not an All-Pro. But Nate is one of the coolest guys, and he talked to any of his teammates, whether it be from the Lions, the Seahawks, or the Vikings. They all say the same thing. This guy was like one of the more eclectic and, I guess, charismatic personalities. And he's a smart dude and watches the game. So there's our ex-player. We checked that box. I've been covering the league for 10, 12 years. Kind of in my own silo, like doing it for Fox on the sidelines, but I haven't really had a chance to show my personality. This show gives me that access. Kay is great. She's our point guard, the host. Beyond being beautiful, she is as smart as it comes and as well-read in football as any one of the four of us. I mean, she loves and breathes football. But Kyle's the wild card, dude. Kyle's the wild card. And when the show was casted, everyone said, who's this guy? This, you know, Ken Doll-looking, you know, schmuck, whatever. Who is this guy? He didn't play the game in the NFL, and I don't recognize him. But Kyle has quickly become the most popular person amongst the fans. He's funny, and his resume is unlike anybody else. He played college ball at Princeton, so he played at Division I at Ivy League, was a very talented running back at Princeton for many years, and then was on The Real World Chicago, then was on Days of Our Lives, and then most recently was working at the Jim Rome Show as Rome's number two. And he is just, he's a brilliant mind, and he's freaking hilarious, but he does love the game. So all that together, we're not your typical show of four guys who played the sport in the 90s with suits and ties on screaming about whether it be, you know, are the Cowboys for real or, you know, a Kaepernick issue for 6 weeks. We're just going to try to bring as much fun and as different personalities and also bring awareness to things that maybe you don't know every day, 3 hours a day on the NFL Network. And that is my commercial, Joe, for the show.
I love it. I love it. Absolutely. You got to plug it. That's Monday through Friday. On the weekends, you're with Fox Sports doing Sideline. Where are you headed this weekend?
Going to Minnesota, very good game. The Vikings for the Lions, and I'm a sideline reporter on the crew with Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman. So we're not the top team like Buck and Aikman, but we're getting a lot of good games. We've had a bunch of really good ones, including you know, last week's where we saw the Vikings and Bucks. So excited. I'll be getting on a plane shortly. Minnesota quietly hot, you know, 2-1 with a good defense, and who knows, if Case Keenum can keep it up, they can go to 3-1.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's dive in and talk Niners. Week one, you got a chance to be around the building. Obviously, that game against the Panthers didn't turn out how the 49ers had hoped. But in those production meetings, take us inside those closed-door meetings, because that, to me, is one of the more interesting parts of game week that we don't really get to be a part of as fans. And so when you're in those meetings, what struck you maybe about the coaching staff, Kyle Shanahan, as well as meeting with John Lynch and some of the front office members, that maybe is different than some other weeks?
Well, that's everything for me. That's why I love doing the sidelines on the weekends, because of the Friday and Saturday meetings. What that means is we get a chance without cameras to sit in a room with the head coach for 30 minutes. Then we get the offensive coordinator for 15 minutes. Then we get the defensive coordinator. Then we get the quarterback. Then we get a couple players, and there's no cameras, and it's my chance for FaceTime to get questions and ask anything I want. They're not pre-scripted, and they're not in front of a podium with 30 other reporters with notepads. So let's go with Kyle Shanahan. I think there's such a cool energy around Kyle. I think he's like a guy that these players can not only look at as a coach who's got the resume and all that stuff, but also, I said the word beautiful mind. That's what it is. It's like, you don't know what he's got thinking up in his head. Even when we're sitting there, he's trying to think of a different way to utilize his multiple running backs or a different package. It's that offensive mind that I feel like the Niners have been missing the last few years. Chip Kelly is respected by everybody around the league for what he can do, but Kyle's a different breed. And when we sat with him, there was this contagious energy. I don't think Kyle would ever say it, but I think expectations are realistic in year one for the Niners. But Kyle brings such a positive spin at it that, you know what, we're going to get the most out of these guys, and we're going to make the most out of this year one of the experiment of him being the coordinator. And, of course, John Lynch as the general manager, who had no previous front office experience being hired there.
Through 3 weeks, there's been good, there's been bad. I think the good and the bad of week one probably had to do with number 56, Reuben Foster. And you were on the sideline, and he only got – it's like a tease. We only got 11 plays to look at this
can
guy.
Can I tell you, Joe, I mean, I'm on the
give it to me.
And I don't, you're in the building. I see you on the big screen during the pregame stuff. You're there. You know what I'm talking about. That place, it got a bad rap. It said, oh, you saw the photos from what's her name, Ann Killian, and you saw the photos of the empty stadium. I was like, oh, this place is dead. I'm telling you, that place was rocking pregame. And the first 11 plays, he laid somebody out in like the 10th play. That place was on fire. Foster goes down with the injury. The very next play, Russell Shepard has that long touchdown, and they never get the crowd back. They never get the game back. But I'm telling you, that first hour of that game, it felt like the Niners were going to beat the Panthers. And I know it's ridiculous to say that. Who cares? It was 10 plays. But that Foster injury sucked the life out of the entire building. It stopped play for 10 minutes. Foster tried multiple times on the sidelines to get back in. He wanted to play. I don't think he ever missed a game at Alabama. Like, he's one of those guys, just wants to play. But there was no chance they're winning that game, which is the energy suck out of that one. They get a really good effort in week two from the defense. They don't come up with it. And then last week, so many things could have happened. I don't think enough was made of that pass interference call, just how absurdly terrible it was. And Jeff Triplett hasn't come out, I don't think, and said it was wrong. But I've watched the All-22. You don't make that call. I don't care if it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter. If I'm getting worked up here, it's because I don't want to take away what the Niners did last week. I thought they put up a great effort, even though they gave up 41 points and ultimately lost the effort.
Shregs, I'm happy you brought up the pass interference call, because obviously everyone wants to throw the caveat. Yes, you know, Brian Hoyer didn't have to throw the pick, and they had other opportunities. Yes, yes, yes. But at the same time, when we criticize these players to no end for every mistake that they make, I think it's fair to do the same when officials make huge, game-changing calls in the fourth quarter. And what gets me about that one, and I said this on our live show on Monday, the drive prior in the end zone, Garrett Celek gets absolutely abused in the end zone, taken down with both arms, and there's no call. So at that point, to me, the referees are saying, okay, we're going to let the boys play here the last 5 minutes. The 3rd and 10 play that would have given the 49ers a first down, nearing field goal range, needing a field goal to win the game, not send it to overtime, to win the game, you make that call with a slight arm bar. To me, the difference of what you're calling, that's what gets me going the most.
Yeah, and here's what also will get you going. To you, that's, you know, it gets you fired up. For the players, that's a killer. I mean, they're now 0-3. They're out of it. Like, they are going to have to take a Herculean effort to even get back into this thing. Even if the Seahawks are struggling and we don't know what the Cardinals are, it's going to be tough for the Niners to win a division coming out of an 0-3 hole. That's just what it is. But here's what really stinks. That happens on Thursday night. People did not necessarily stay up to the end of the game on the East Coast. It ended at like 12 a.m. at night. So it wasn't a huge topic Friday morning. Saturday comes along, we're talking college football. Sunday comes along, you got the whole anthem thing, so that becomes a topic. And then you have actual a huge day of Sunday with a ton of upsets. come Monday morning, we're all talking about the national anthem. We're talking about crazy upsets in the NFL. Come Tuesday, we're moving it. We're still talking about Monday Night Football. And the story gets done. It's buried. And I say all that because Jeff Triplett cost that game. I mean, that was a crazy call. You don't make that call in that spot. And the shame of it is, it's not the NBA where everyone is talking about it for the next 3 days before there's another game. In the NFL, the story goes on, the people turn the page, and it's just wiped away from the history books. But whether or not it was a good call or not, it is a loss, and that is going to be a hard one for them to pick their bootstraps off of.
I agree. I want to circle back to Foster real quick because we talked about the energy in the building, but in 11 plays, this guy had three tackles, one tackle for loss against Christian McCaffrey on that swing pass into the left flat. He nearly had a pick six. I talked to him after the game or the following week, and he's like, I know it was going to the crib. So I know he's eager to get that first interception. But to me, I mean, for 11 plays, and it was only 11 plays, and it was such a tease, but this guy looks like a superstar.
I just want to see how he is with the ankle. I mean, this is no doubt. We're allowed to choose whoever we want to speak with on the team in these production meetings. I could have requested Pierre Garçon, anybody. I said, I'll talk to Hoyer. That's cool. I like Brian. I've dealt with him for 10 years. I know Brian. Give me Reuben Foster. And he lived up to the expectations. Joe, you know it. You're there. He is incredible. He's electric. He's a rookie. And yet he walks around like he's the captain of the team, and the veterans respond to him. So all the hype that we had in the preseason, those amazing hits in that Minnesota preseason game, all of that came to fruition in those first 10 plays. He was unbelievable. But injuries happen, and now it's when do we get him back? And when he does come back, how's he going to look? Now, I don't even know the latest injury report. Is he expected to play this weekend?
Not this week. He's out of the boot, improving, but they're going to be so cautious. He's not going to practice this week. Maybe Indianapolis. I think that might be the first time that he gives it a go on the practice field, but it could be the following week in Washington.
That's a killer because he's a joy to watch, man.
He is, and he's a joy to be around. What he told me in our first interview, the day after the first round of the draft, I'm sitting down with him and Solomon Thomas, and I mean, you couldn't have two more different personalities, both amazing in their own ways. And he says, to know Reuben is to love Reuben, which is just so true. And he's a rookie playing in his first game, and you have the entire Levi Stadium stand saying, you know, chanting his name, Reuben Foster. That's pretty cool. Before I let you go, give me the scene going on right now. I know you're walking on the streets of New York City.
Yeah,
we've got some sirens in the back. No, it's all part of it. What's going on in the Big Apple? It is. You got plenty of atmosphere. You're just strolling down.
Big Apple's melting with the Giants. That's what everyone's talking about. Situation. You would think that this guy spit in the mayor's face or something. I mean, the fans are turning on Odell. There's a great division between Giants fans in New York City right now. It's half of the fans are saying, he's our only player. I love watching him. He's an amazing, amazing talent. I will ride with Odell to the end. And then there's the typical Giants fan, which is someone who's been watching the Giants since the 1960s, and it's been the Maras, and it's very buttoned up, and this is not Giants football when you pee on the sideline. So that's the big story here, or pee in the end zone, or simulate peeing in the end zone.
Lightning rod. Every week there's something with Odell. Shregs, before I let you go, tell me about the NFC West. I know you said, obviously, the 49ers have a mountain to climb. To get back in it and get back to 500 is first and foremost, but it looks like a division that's going to beat up on itself a little bit. The 49ers play the Cardinals on Sunday. They've had their good moments and their struggles as well. Obviously, without David Johnson, that's a huge piece missing in Arizona. Carson Palmer sacked six times on Monday against the Cowboys. What do you make of this Arizona team?
Every team is really vulnerable, and I think no team is more vulnerable than the Cardinals because I think the Rams and the 49ers can point to the future and say, all right, well, we've seen that we've got this guy, this guy, this guy, and we know we have the draft picks, and we're going to be building towards that. We've got young coaches. But the Cardinals, I mean, David Johnson going down was such a blow for them. I thought they'd be able to recover. I'm not sure they're going to be relevant come December, January now. As far as the rest of the division, Seahawks always start off slow, but something feels different this year. It feels like they're just out of sorts. You guys saw it in week two, almost caught them on a surprise win there. And then the Rams, as great as the Rams' offense has looked, I've also done their game against the Redskins, and they didn't look good there. I still need to see a little bit more. They beat you guys, and they beat Scott Tolzien with the Colts. They need to win a game against an NFL playoff team, and the Cowboys are a great test this weekend.
Peter Schrager, appreciate your time, man. You can follow him on Twitter, at @pschrags. Catch him on Good Morning Football. 7 to 10 a.m., am I getting that right?
7 to 10 a.m., I love it. We try to give the Niners some love and some attention. They're not getting everywhere else.
That is beautiful, and you can catch him on Fox Sports covering the sidelines of the biggest games of the week. Shregs, man, I can't tell you enough. Appreciate your time, and look forward to catching up soon. Safe travels to Minnesota.
You're the man, dude. You do really good work. All you guys do. I appreciate it.